It's good to have you here today. I'm Pastor John, and we got a really good teaching for you today, I think. Hey, I got to share this with you, though. This morning, before first service, I was standing in the back, and I was just greeting folks as they came in, and this one lady here at our church, this is one of our beautiful, you know, kind of senior ladies here. She came in the back door, and I greeted her and gave her a hug. I said, "Wow, you look really beautiful today." And she said, "Thank you so much, Pastor John." She said, "You're very handsome." And I said, "Thank you, that's awesome." And as she was walking away, and she obviously wasn't talking to me, she had gotten beyond me a little bit, and I heard her say, "I forgot my glasses." You know, it's like, it was one of those moments, it's like, you know, build you up and then tear you down, you know. It was cute because she just walked on in and, you know, she had no thought about me anymore, and it was just one of those moments that was funny. Hey, let me share with you just briefly here about this new topic that we're going to be studying over the next few weeks. Selfless. And you know, I just want to give credit where credit is due here. I read and saw some teaching on this from a wonderful preacher, contemporary, one of our contemporaries here today. His name is Craig Groeschel from Oklahoma. Much of what I'm going to share with you over the next few weeks, some of it comes from him, and it's just really neat, and it really spoke to me. And therefore, I thought that it would speak to you. Here's what we're going to do, though. Over the next few weeks, we're going to look at how important it is to be selfless. Okay? Now think about this for a moment, because almost every issue that we have in life, every difficulty that we have in life, every mistake that we make in life, if you look at the basis of it, much of our problems are rooted in selfishness. You know, for those of you that are married here this morning, almost every issue that you have in marriage is rooted in selfishness. You know, they say that the biggest things that couples have trouble with is money and sex. And if you look at the root, at the foundation of those issues in your marriage, you'll find that one or probably both of you are having this issue because of selfishness. Not enough for me, too much for you. Even in business and where you work, many times a lot of our conflicts are rooted and grounded in selfishness. You know, I have a nephew who has twin boys, and we saw them not too long ago, and it was interesting because these little guys were like 3 years old, and they were playing with this awesome truck. And then I noticed they had two of them. Each of them had the exact same truck. And a little while later, they had some other toy, and I thought, man, that is a cool toy. And then I looked, and there were two of them, and I said to my nephew, I said, you know, why do you buy two? And he said, if you had twins, you'd know. You know, almost every issue that we have in life can come back to this. So here's what we're going to look at over the next few weeks. We're going to talk about how if we are selfless instead of selfish, that we can be bold in our witness. How God can use us not to be concerned just about ourselves, but about others, and to use us to reach others, even if we're laughed at, even if we're ridiculed. Or how if we're selfless rather than selfish, God can use us to serve and to show love to other people, faithful in service, even if it makes us uncomfortable, even if it takes us out of our comfort zone. You know, third, we're going to look at extravagant giving and generosity. How if we are selfless instead of selfish, that God can enable us to give more and to bless others, to make personal sacrifices that further the kingdom of God. And then finally, how selflessness can help us to just be grateful and faithful in the grind of life. How God can empower us to do everything for His glory, even if it pushes us beyond. See, here's the thing, and you think about this, and you'll agree with me. So much of the time, We think about us instead of God. You know, recently I saw an article where they'd gone back all the way to like President Ronald Reagan, and they had examined every State of the Union address, and they'd given a score to each of the presidents, and they counted how many times they used the word I or me, or we and us. And I'm not about to tell you the numbers that they attributed to that. You can look it up. I don't want to start any political debate here this morning. But it was really interesting to just look at how much of the time, even our leaders, you know, they don't talk. Who are they leading? They're leading us. But yet so much of the time they talk about I and they talk about me. And here's the thing, folks. When we're dealing with the subject of selfishness and asking God to make us selfless, it's not so much about understanding us, but it's about understanding God. And how instead of saying, God help me, God bless me, God protect me, God make my life to be happy, make me richer, that we would think more of who He is. And understanding that it's understanding who He is that makes us selfless rather than selfish. Here, let me show you a great quote. Craig Rochelle actually said, he said, it's easy to see God as a tool to get what we want in life. Do you look at God that way? You know, that God is simply a tool to get what we want in life. God, help me. God, bless me. God, protect me. Instead of thinking more about who He wants us to be rather than who we want Him to be to us. Matter of fact, I got a great scripture here for you. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. I love it. It says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Isn't that a beautiful scripture? Matter of fact, it's here on the screen. Let's read it together. Read it with me. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. In other words, God is calling us to a life of selflessness rather than a life of selfishness. Now, if you look at the disciples and their interaction with Jesus, Jesus basically had a 3-year period that He poured into their lives. You know, they saw Him interact with people. They saw Him love people, care about people. They saw Him heal people that were sick, opening the eyes of the blind. They even saw Him raise people from the dead. And He told them that He's going to be a life giver to others, and then He's going to die. And on the third day, he's going to rise again. And here, watch this, because this is really important. Jesus did just that. Jesus died. He was buried. 3 days later, He rose again. And here's what we read in John chapter 20, verse 19. It says that Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind closed doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Now, contrast this, okay? Contrast this and look at it through the eyes of being selfless rather than selfish. You know, they walked with Jesus. They saw Jesus care about people and heal people. He gave them, you know, this wonderful ministry in His name. They even said things like that they would die for Him. You know, Peter said that he would never deny Him, that he would die for Him, that they would go to the grave. They just were told that you have to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Him. Jesus died, was buried, and 3 days later, and what happened? They were behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish people, Jewish leaders. What happened to the boldness? Matter of fact, I think this is kind of the way they were, and sometimes we're like this too. Watch this. where's the boldness? We bark and bark and bark and bark until it's time to put something behind our bark, and what do we do? Oh, don't want any of that, you know? I saw that and I couldn't help but think that's exactly what the disciples did. You know, Jesus, we'll die for you. We're going to follow you. We're going to preach in your holy name. You know, nobody's going to be able to oppose us. And what happens? They were behind closed doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Why are we like that? Why, when we have an opportunity to be selfless, that we become selfish and think only of ourselves? Why don't we share this love that we have for Jesus with others? I mean, so many times people say, well, I don't know enough. You know, people will be offended. I'm scared. You know, I didn't go to college or seminary. I don't have the background. You know, sometimes we want the opportunity to be with him, but then when we get it, we kind of scare away. You know, I'll be honest with you. Early on in my ministry, I had things like that happen. You know, I remember one time, you know, I was going to this house to talk to somebody about a difficult situation, and the thing they needed more than anything else was salvation. You know, I walk up and I knock on the door, and nobody answers, and I knock on the door again, and nobody answers, and I'm like, whew, boy, that was close, you know? And you leave kind of glad that it didn't work out. I remember going to the hospital, you know, and there's somebody sick, and man, they need to know the Lord. And somebody's asked you to go and to share with them, and you go and you walk in the room and you understand that they're even kind of hostile to the gospel and they're asleep. And you hear the devil whisper in your ear, you know what, don't wake them up, they need their sleep. You know, and you kind of whimper away, kind of glad that the opportunity has gone away. Let me show you something that's beautiful in this passage. You know, they say we're going to be bold, but then they're behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. The very next sentence says, suddenly Jesus was standing there among them. Peace be with you, he said. Isn't that beautiful? That they had the doors locked so that the opposition could not get to them, so that they could be safe. And Jesus was standing among them. You know, I think some of us need an experience like that, where we're kind of shook out of our comfort zone and realize that we need to think about other people more and rather than ourselves. Because I submit to you that it was at this moment that things began to change in the hearts and the minds of the disciples. And although Peter had that moment of denial, we see Peter later on when he is preaching boldness to the people. You see, we need to move from selfish to selfless. We need to move from being timid to being bold. And we need to allow God to work in our minds and our hearts to help us to do that. You know, Peter and John, two of the men that were there in that room behind locked doors because they were afraid, were the same two that later on were preaching the message of the gospel, preaching of repentance. And thousands of people responded to that invitation. These are the same individuals that were fearful of Annas, the high priest. But by the power of God and in the name of Jesus Christ, they were able to say to him that it was in the name and the power of Jesus that a particular person was healed. Matter of fact, in Acts chapter 4 and verse 8, here's what we read. Look at this passage. It says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of our people, Are we being questioned today because we've done a good deed for a crippled man? Do you want to know how he was healed? Look at this. I love this statement. Let me clearly state to all of you and to all the people of Israel that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene. He wanted to leave no doubt. The man you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. You see, folks, you and I need to understand more than anything else that that's what God wants us to do. God wants us to move from selfishness to selflessness. God wants us to move from being timid to being bold, to tell people about the powerful name of Jesus. Matter of fact, Peter continues in Acts chapter 4 in verse number 12. Look at what it says. It says, there's salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. The members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the Scriptures. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. Let me ask you a question. Would you rather people be amazed by your boldness or shocked by your apathy? Because I'm telling you, if you're a believer here this morning, and there's been times in your life when you've had the opportunity to share the message of the gospel, to share with someone in your family, someone in your extended family, someone in your work, someone in your school. If you've had the opportunity to share with them the goodness of God and what God has done for you, and you've not done that, I will guarantee you that there's been people in your life that wished you had. You know, if you have a marriage where you love each other and you love God, and there's people that see that, there's people in your life that they would love to hear you testify about how that works and what that looks like. You know, if you're someone that has had a sickness or disease, and God has healed you, God has helped you, God has given you strength to stand under that load, I will guarantee you there's been people in your life that has walked away from you wishing, shocked even, that you didn't take the opportunity to share with them. Listen, folks, I would much rather people be amazed at my boldness rather than be shocked by my apathy. I was at a restaurant last week. Arlene was gone, and I went out to get something to eat all by myself. Young waitress was there, and you know she was such a nice young lady. And towards the end of my meal, I kind of just engaged her in a conversation about life. Found out that she was a college student across the street. She lives up on the hill in Nittany Point. And you know what I said to her? I said, you know, every day when you come down the hill out of where you live, out of Nittany Point, she said, oh, yeah. I said, have you ever just looked across the valley that's before you, and have you ever noticed that big white cross sticking up out of the trees? She said, oh, yeah, I see that. I said, that's where our church is. I said, you know, if you're ever looking for answers, I said, man, come, we would love to have you. We would love to encourage you and to help you. And you know what she told me? She told me she'd be here today. I don't know, maybe she's here right now. If you're here right now, sweetheart, welcome. But you know what, folks? I would much rather speak up about the goodness of God and let people be amazed at my boldness rather than shocked by my apathy. And listen, folks, we must live a life. You see, we think about giving our life for Christ. We think about it as something we do just like that. But really, it's given in little ways over a lifetime of service. Just taking the opportunities to share with other people the goodness and the grace of God. So here it is. How do we do that? How do we become bold? I think this passage of Scripture in Acts chapter 4, it tells us that. When it tells us that the council was amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, it said because they were, and look at this, it says that they were ordinary men with no special training in the Scriptures. Isn't that amazing? Isn't it amazing to think that that's who God uses? God uses ordinary people, regular people, unschooled people. My mother told me one time, and you know, it's kind of funny. She told me one time, she said, "John, you attract idiots." You know, it was one of those times in life, you know, where you had some rather odd people come into your life, you know, and that needed certain things, and maybe you were trying to help, you know, friends that you have. My mother said, "John, you attract idiots." And I don't know what that says about you, all right? But sometimes we're all like that. Isn't it wonderful to know that God can even use idiots? God can take a man that is full of demons, and he can cleanse that man and tell him to go back to his home and be a witness for him. God can forgive the sins of an adulterous woman that he met at a well, and she can make her way back home. And all of a sudden, Jesus has a crowd from that town because of her testifying of the goodness of Jesus. You see, folks, how do you become bold? You become bold by spending more time with Him. Not thinking that God needs an extraordinary person to do an extraordinary thing. God just needs ordinary people to do things in extraordinary ways. Or with an extraordinary faith. I mean, who does God use most often? It wasn't the religious leaders. It wasn't the high priest. It wasn't the Sanhedrin. It wasn't the Pharisees. It wasn't the Sadducees. It was ordinary fishermen. Ordinary farmers that put their faith in Him. Who had a moment of selfishness, who found themselves behind a locked door because they were afraid. But then Jesus came among them and they became bold. Spend more time with Jesus if you want to be bold. Now let me give you the second one here, because this one is so obvious, but it's so important. Have you ever just asked Him for it? I mean, it's really an interesting fact here, but that's exactly what happened here in Acts chapter 4 in verse number 29. It says, "And now, O Lord, hear their threats and give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching your word." Now think about that. Isn't that an amazing prayer? That's a prayer. "O Lord, hear their threats and give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching your word." How does that differ from the prayers we praise? Lord, keep us safe. Lord, don't let anything bad happen to us. God, I really need this. When really what we need is boldness. Boldness that gets us so close to our Heavenly Father that we become selfless rather than selfish. How we become bold rather than timid. And when we pray for boldness, ask God for boldness, when we spend time with Christ, what happens is we become selfless. We deny ourselves. We become people that are not living for just today, but living for all of eternity as well. And listen, folks, oh, that's what we need. You know what? I was thinking about this a couple weeks ago when Ken was here with us from Burkina Faso. So wonderful to have Ken and Anita and their beautiful family here with us. They're still in the States. But during a private time with him, he shared something with me, because one of the issues of serving in that part of the world is your security, is your safety, and you have to think about that. And he says that's always the first thing that people in America ask him about. And he said, John, I don't know if you noticed, he said, I really didn't address that at all from the pulpit. And he said, I'll tell you why. He said, because in America, when I talk about security, he said, that's all they remember. It's all they remember. It's all they want to talk about. He said, it's just a way of our culture. He told me, he said, while he was here on furlough, he was doing something very interesting. He was studying the life of the Apostle Paul, and he was looking at it from this perspective. When Paul went out on his missionary journeys, when did he go? Even though there were threats against his life, even though there were dangers before him, when did he go? Or when did he not go? When did the Spirit tell him not to go because of, security reasons or otherwise? He said, I'm studying that, I'm looking at that, because that's a question for me and for my family. But you know what he said? He said, we want to be bold. I mean, notice the difference here. Lord, hear their threats. Give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching the word. Lord, it wasn't, Lord, keep us safe. Lord, don't let anything bad happen to us. And when we pray for boldness, when we make time to spend time with Christ, we become selfless rather than selfish. Because you know what? And look at this, because this is so important. When this life is over, we'll all live somewhere forever. You ever think about that? I mean, I know from the perspective, I mean, I'm so thankful that I know salvation, that I know Christ, that my faith is secure in Him, and that I have the hope of eternity. Aren't you glad of that? But do you ever think about that in light of when you go out into the world? I mean, do you ever think about the people that you're going to encounter today in a restaurant or out shopping or somewhere else, and they don't know Christ? Because you know what? They're going to live for eternity too. Everyone we see when this life is over is going to live somewhere forever. And you know what? I don't like to try to influence people to make professions of faith simply by scaring them about what the Bible says about hell. But you know what? The Bible is very graphic about that place, about the lake of fire, about separating the sheep from the goats, about how the devil is cast into that lake for all of eternity. But do you think that way? I must admit to you, I don't think that way very often. You know that when a nice person comes up and waits on me and my family at a table, my first thought is how good their service is going to be, not about their eternal place. But everybody's going to live forever somewhere. And here's the point, folks. We shouldn't be selfish. We should be so thankful that we know. Because not only is the Bible very graphic about that place that we would call eternal damnation or hell, it's also very graphic about the perfect place, the beautiful place called heaven. 1 Corinthians 2:9, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. Revelation 21, verse 1, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The old heaven, the old earth had disappeared. God's home is now among His people. He'll live with them and they will be His people. God Himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of the water of life, and who are victorious will inherit all these blessings, and I will be their God and they will be my children. And God's people said, amen. But everybody's going to live somewhere forever. And you know what, folks? If we're not asking God to give us boldness to share His grace and His mercy and His love with everyone that we know, then we are being selfish and not selfless. So which do you want to be? I know for me, I want to be selfless and take every opportunity to share His love and His mercy and grace with others. So here's your bold invitation. Let's do that. Let's take opportunities to share with others about what God has done for us. And let's speak boldly about what we believe deeply without any thought of being offended or being offensive, but making sure that we understand that everyone needs the grace and mercy of Jesus, because everyone will live somewhere forever. Let's pray. Father in heaven, God, thank you for a great day. And Lord, I pray for every person in this room this morning. And God, I'm concerned about all of us, because everyone here today is going to live forever somewhere. And Lord, I hope everyone within the sound of my voice will get to that beautiful place, that perfect place, that place we know of as heaven. But Lord, just as the disciples said boldly that salvation is found in no other except in Jesus Christ, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that He is Lord. So God, I pray that every person in this room this morning has done that. And if not, Lord, that they will do that today. That Lord, right where they are, right in this moment, that Father, they just in their heart and with their mind and with their mouth, that they say, Jesus, I accept your grace and mercy. Thank you for loving me and forgiving me of all my sins. And then, Lord, give them the desire to come and share that decision with me or with another leader in the next steps. And may we help them, Lord, with their walk of faith. But God, I pray for all of us today that we would leave this place not selfish, but selfless. God, our marriages be not of people wanting to find the right person, but Lord, of two people who are desiring to become the right person. God, give us a heart of love for everyone that we see, and may we boldly share with them what you've done for us. And Lord, may it make a difference, not only in our lives, but in our world. God, we do not want to hide behind a locked door because we are afraid. But Father, may we boldly proclaim our devotion and our love for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.